Yeah. So I don't know, Al, if it's the power of suggestion. Maybe it's just that. Okay. But usually around this time, I start to get a little bit hungry. It's, I mean,
sure.
It's lunchtime.
I'm with
it's
you.
Noon, right?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But and I usually don't eat till I get home, which is somewhere around 2, 2:15, something like that. So I can usually get, you know, get right now. I feel like I could eat my own hand. I'm starving. Is it just that Chris brought up food? What is it?
I think you look at the clock. I think it has sometimes it's more of a mental thing. I don't know if you ever do that. It's like, oh, well, it's noon. I'm supposed to be hungry. Oh, no, it's 5 o'clock. We're getting close to dinner. Well, of course, I'm supposed to be eating right now. I find myself doing that all the time. Whether I'm hungry or not, it's like, no, I'm hungry now.
I've never really experienced the sensation of not being hungry. It's
are you a breakfast guy?
Yeah, I've become one. I've kind of coached myself into it. I like to go out to breakfast and like sit down and have like an Eggs Benedict or a brunch or something like that. That's fun. But at home, I'm not eating a bowl of oatmeal and just kind of set up shop for the day. That's not my jam.
The reason why I ask, I'm not a breakfast guy. So I could get up, have a cup of coffee, and go till, you know, whatever. The show ends at 1 o'clock and then, you know, start eating then.
Not eat anything till 1?
Yeah, no problem. The problem is, as the day progresses, I make up more than what I need to make up for what I missed during the morning. Yeah, it's 100% backwards. Everything is backwards.
I think that's the exact opposite of the way you're supposed to do it.
Yep.
You're supposed to eat the most that you're going to eat early in the day and then kind of taper down as you get later in the day. I like that you've kind of flipped
See what I'm doing? I'm outthinking the system.
You're like me with recommendations. You know what you'd love, Trav? Never going to watch it. You know, I should eat in the morning. I'll eat at midnight. Thank you very much.
When you left for a quick second, Emily got back into her pitch, and then she sent me the text. She sent me the text, and she even said, "Hey, you know what? It doesn't look like you have a Lakers game tonight. What do you think? Watching that episode, kicking back, nice day out there. I think I will. If I'm just gonna if this is the episode that churned her, then I'm sold. Like that's a unique pitch right there to say, hey, you don't have to go watch the whole thing. Just watch this one episode and see what happens.
You know what I like about it in particular? It's that you. It's not, hey, you need to go back to the beginning. It's you can drop in. What'd you say, Emily? Season 7?
Season 7, episode 4.
You can drop in season 7, episode 4, and this will hook you to go back and figure out that. Because what it means is you don't need
if
to
it
know
doesn't the, hook you, then.
Right, well, and you don't need to know the characters. You don't need to know the backstories. That if you can drop that late into the series and get hooked by it, okay, not a bad pitch. Send me more literature. I'm not signing, but I'm listening. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Taylor, Dodger for at least 4 more years. There's a player option for the 5th year, $60 million. So you know he's going to get about $15 million a year, which good for him because it's really interesting that he doesn't have a position. Right, he is just a master utility player. That he can play, and it's not like, oh, he can play first base and third base. A lot of guys can, or he can play center field and right field. He can play center field. He can play shortstop. He can play second. He can play third. He can play left field. He can play right field. And by the way, the DH is coming to the National League. You'd be more than comfortable having him be your designated
hitter.
Would that
be this year? Is that going to be
like
this
it.
Season?
Seems like it. Yeah. It seemed, remember they were talking to the World Series that might be the last time a pitcher ever got a base hit. It seems likely. I love that they got him back. I thought that, you know, we were talking about, of all the Dodger free agents, who's the most important? I thought Corey Seager was the most important. They didn't get that done. Who's the second most important? I thought it was Chris Taylor. And I'm very happy that he's back. But with all the – put the free agents aside for a minute because, quite frankly, nobody's doing anything with any free agents for the foreseeable future because of the lockout. The thing that they need to get squared away more than any other thing is finding a way to get Cody Bellinger to be something similar to what he was prior to the last season and a half. You want some crazy numbers?
Yeah.
Here's Cody Bellinger's regular season numbers from last year.
Actually, I changed my mind. I'm good.
You don't want to get depressed? 165 is his batting average. That's not Clayton Kershaw's batting average. That's not Julio Urias' batting average. Cody Bellinger, a former National League MVP, hit 165. Mm-hmm. He hit 10 home runs. Okay, 10. He drove in 36, and he had an on-base percentage of .240, which is pitcher level. It's just exceptionally
low. He probably matched
low.
All that in just the playoffs.
His playoff numbers, 353. Mm-hmm. He drove in 7 runs. He only hit the one home run, but again, a pretty small sample size. And he got on base. This is the best part of all. His on-base percentage was .436. Okay, that's elite. That's like Mike Trout kind of stuff. That's on base all the time. He doesn't need to be that. What he needs to be is this guy. Here are his career averages in these categories. His career average is 257. If you told me that Cody Bellinger is going to hit 257, I'd take it right now.
Yep.
He averages in a 162-game season, 27 home runs.
Sounds
Give it
good.
To me right now. Mm-hmm. He averages driving in 71 runs a year. Give it to And again, keep in mind, these are with a 10 and a 36 thrown in there. Mm-hmm. His career on-base percentage is 346. Good. Not great, but good. They need that guy. They don't need the guy that tore the cover off the ball for a season and won an MVP, but they cannot have the guy last year that was an automatic out for 5.5 of the 6 months of the season.
You know, it's interesting, too, Trav, is the roster that they have right now is actually very similar to the roster that they had before the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before the trade deadline, Scherzer wasn't there. Scherzer's not going to be there for this upcoming season. Trey Turner wasn't there, but Corey Seager's gone, so you put Trey Turner where Corey Seager was. And that actually just kind of shows Dodgers were playing great baseball before the trade deadline. There was an idea and the concept of, well, not only do you get Max Scherzer, but you also keep him away from the Padres, or
yep.
you kept him away from one of those other teams in the NL, or even if he had gone to the American League. You actually have a very similar roster than before the trade deadline, and the difference could be Cody Bellinger, because Bellinger was so bad for them during the regular season. You know, there were plenty of times where we'd do a show and you say, well, he shouldn't be in the lineup. Why is he in the lineup? Got to get this guy
well,
out.
Al, by the time we got to July, I didn't understand it because he wasn't coming out of it. Mm-hmm. It made no sense. It was like having a second pitcher in the order. It just didn't make any sense at all.
But without having to go out there and, let's just say, go get another bat, Seager signed for $325 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously the Dodgers didn't feel that was a good game plan. Maybe it's a good game plan for the short term. It's a 10-year deal, right? So they didn't feel like it's a good game plan on a long-term perspective. The Bellinger piece becomes more and more interesting because if he can be a player that you're talking about, they were, before the trade deadline, a really good team in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
They're going to be favored coming up this upcoming season. And let's let the dust settle, and we got a lot of time to see what ends up happening. What happens to Kershaw? What happens to Jansen? What do they end up doing in the offseason? I know we got to wait until baseball figures out its own issues. But Bellinger could be that big free agent that came in without going out and getting a big free agent.
And it doesn't cost you anything. Right, they don't have to pay him yet. They can pay him what they want to pay him. He's at that point in his career where, you know, it's not we got to match what the Yankees are going to do or the Rangers are going to do. That they still have control over that situation and how they want to do it. And you're right, because let's go back to these career numbers again. And again, these are career numbers that factor in a historically terrible season. So these are actually a little low. 257 batting average with 27 home runs, 71 runs driven in, and a 346 on-base percentage. If you get something close in that, that's just not a good major league player. That's a borderline all-star player. Hmm. I mean, it's not Bryce Harper.
And he's already on your roster.
And he's an elite defender.
Yep.
He runs the bases really well. By all accounts, he's wildly popular with his teammates. Like, I think had he been something other than a good teammate, last season would have been a disaster,
wow.
even more so. That just get back to that career average number. And look, we're getting closer to where he is going to get paid, right? So if he wants to blow this thing out, mm-hmm. if he wants to go get paid like a former MVP, he's got to at least
contract
do this.
Here.
He's got to at least do this. So I think that's an incredibly valuable piece. We haven't really talked about all the free agency, but if they can turn that guy back into the all-star caliber player he has been, it's like getting a free guy.
Yeah, and we'll see, obviously, what eventually happens. But I think that's a good observation because you're looking at the roster. And by the way, today's stat hero of the day, it is Chris Taylor, because Chris Taylor re-signed with the Dodgers. 4 years, $60 million. Fifth-year option could increase value to $73 million. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives a player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 100% deposit match. Travis, maybe they do think that, you know what, we can get at least somewhat of a version of what Bellinger was, and there is one of your free agent acquisitions without having to go out there and bring anybody in.
At a non-free agent. Price. That would be outstanding. All right, so the pitches are continuing. They want you to buy that timeshare, Al. Let's go to Mission Viejo and Eric. Eric, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Tell us what's going on. So to kind of continue this the Game of Thrones pitch, you have to watch, if you can watch the Battle of the Bastards which is in games. I mean, which is in season six.
Okay.
That's like one of the best seasons of all time, if you, you know, just in my opinion. But the Battle of the Bastards is like one of the greatest episodes, also, in my opinion.
Eric,
the episode that she was talking about in season seven, episode four, that's a great one, too.
Okay, let me ask you this, Eric. That particular genre of entertainment, is that something you generally like, or is Game of Thrones an outlier?
No, Game of Thrones is an outlier because it took me a little while to get into it. And the funny thing is, I heard Mason talking about it back when season six was about to start. So this is like years ago. Mm-hmm. And I tried to watch it, but I couldn't get past the accents and I couldn't get past, you know, the...
You're speaking my language. You're saying all the things, that I say to my wife for the reasons I don't want to watch it. You're checking them off the list, Eric. It's great.
Yeah, Eric, but it also has the perfect mix of sex, fighting, and you know, and that's like, you know, once you get that,
it's all good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric.
Appreciate you calling in. Okay, just I'm going to give out. This was his presentation. I'm just giving out a couple suggestions here. Okay. Typically, I like to walk into a room and somebody says, hey, thanks for coming. I appreciate you being here. Hey, take a seat. Can I get you a cup of water? Can I get you something?
Water?
Something to drink here? what are you having? A
cup of coffee, at least.
A rum and Coke here?
I mean, water.
Go to your timeshare mix?
You going to go run the sink in the bathroom and fill up a Dixie cup? I mean, let's at least make a cup of coffee here.
I love how a bottle of water sounds like the most random thing in a presentation. I don't know what episode that is. I'm more confused than I was a half hour ago when we started talking about Game of Thrones. I'm going to give Emily's episode a shot, and then we'll see if we go.
Well,
to
Emily
step
got
two
excited
after that.
When I think it was Eric that when he mentioned that episode, you got pretty animated.
Yes. Yeah. So Battle of the Bastards is a really good episode, but I feel like it's an episode where it's essentially all battle. So, like, it's really hard if you don't like battle scene, if you don't like war movies, it's not a great one to jump in on. The one I suggested does have a battle in it, but it is not the entirety of the episode. So that's
why
I think
it's a good
one.
What's the rest of the episode? Like, is it?
It's got a mix of politics. It's got a mix of relationships. It's really interesting in a way to dive into the world without being, like, totally involved. And Greg agrees.
It's getting warmer.
Can I jump in here for just a second? I loved the show.
See, this is what Chris was warning us of. Don't get Sedano.
No.
Not a break.
Yeah, you can go to break in just a second. But it is a great show. The ending was not really all that worth it, but it was still good enough that you should watch the whole thing. And Emily is right. That is a good episode to start on. But really, if you like politics, if you like battles, if you like people, you know, engaging in intercourse, then you're going to...
Greg? I mean, there's a better way to say that.
Mickey Mouse is listening.
No, no, that's okay. I actually was being pretty nice about it.
Romance. Engaging in romance. Intercourse.
romance is a better way to say
that's
that.
That's all I heard.
Yeah. No, and like all that stuff is in there. It is totally worth watching every single bit of it. Let it go through the first season. The end of the first season will get you no matter what.
Hey, Berg, is it... Wait, real quick, Berg. Is it kind of funny
with me now.
Is it kind of funny that we are almost in a sense... It's like... We're trying to – I have not watched any of Game of Thrones. I feel like if this is a sports equivalent, we're saying go back to the 2016 season. I'm telling you, the Cavs and the Warriors. Start watching the Cavs, game 37 of the regular season. Like, I feel like that's
I'm
what
just
we're
hung up
to.
On his use of the I word. That's far dirtier than anything else you could have chosen to say.
No,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
the intention was good. The intention was good.
Yeah, but we're not in 10th grade health. We didn't have to put it.
You write it on a piece of paper and put it in the box so that teacher can turn it out. They talk about it a ton on Mason Ireland. By the way, that's on from 1 to 4 right after you guys.
All right, we got a break.
All right, bye.
I love that Bergman's piece today on this show was intercourse.
Stop saying that. It really, really bothers me. That word feels terribly inappropriate on this show. I'll say a lot of things. That word's not coming out of my mouth. We're going to do the NFL picks next. Taylor's going to beat you up yet again, Slee. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
not going to lie, Slee, Bergman shook me a little bit. Like, I'm a little rattled by that.
You don't look good,
bro. The end of that last segment.
You don't look good.
It was just so clinical. It's just such a disturbing way to discuss a romantic show. I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover from it. Travis Slee.
It actually got me more interested in Game of Thrones.
I got an eighth grade health text if you really want to get into that. Travis Slee's brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear more driven. All right, it is time for our Week 13 NFL picks. Here where we are, Al. Taylor.
Recap last week. Recap what happened last week.
Taylor had a perfect week. He got all 10 points to bring the guest total to 48, which has closed the gap. You're still in the lead comfortably with 63 points. I am still far in third place with just 39 points. Al, you had 0 points last week. Taylor had 10. You had zero. You still got a big lead. I split the difference. I had five. So that's where we are.
0 points. Unbelievable.
You're in a pretty good spot because I actually keep track of who picks in which order every week. And this kind of breaks your way with the strategy that you've been talking about. Taylor is going to go first. He gets the first pick.
Come on, I'm a rookie at this.
This is the way it goes. It rotates week to week. Okay. And the guests are up first. We're going to start like we always do with the Rams game at home against the Jacksonville Jags. The Rams are a 13-point favorite. What do you got, Taylor?
I'm doing Rams 3.
Okay, so he's got the Rams at number 3. And I am up next. I have gotten the Rams wrong a lot the last few weeks, not only because I keep picking them to win these games, but when the handful of games they have won, they haven't covered of late. I'm still going to take the Rams, but I'm going to put them at the bottom because 13 points is a ton, Al. What do you have?
All right, so I think they're going to try to send a message. I think they obviously need a game where they win by two touchdowns, plus they need it. It's critical for, the rest of theirs. When I say critical, I know that, Trav, you've mentioned this. If they beat the Jags, nobody's going to pay attention. What are you going to do against Arizona?
Yep.
But I think that this game is incredibly important just to look good and kind of feel good. I'll take Rams as well. Taylor, I hate to do this to you, buddy. You got the same pick as me. I go Rams 3.
He's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. That is some dirty pool right there. All right, next game, we've got the I still want to say San Diego. You've got the L.A. Chargers in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. The Bengals are 3-point favorites at home. I'm first here. The Chargers are another team I don't think I've gotten right more than once or twice through 12 weeks. I'm going to take Cincinnati. They looked really good last week. The Chargers are kind of all over the map. You never know what you're going to get. I like Cincinnati, and I like them at number 3. Al.
All right, so I kind of had done the same thing. I picked Chargers last week. Picked Chargers, Broncos, and let's just put it this way. The Bengals had a much more impressive last couple of weeks than the Chargers have. This game's in Cincinnati. I don't think 3's a lot of points. I'm okay with that. I'll take the Bengals in this one. I'll make this my – which number do I want to put this at? I'll put this as my 2.
Number 2. Cincinnati, number 2, Alan Sliwa. Taylor.
I'm feeling Cincinnati 2 as well.
Uh-oh. Nobody's making any money on this thing. Where are you going to put them?
Cincinnati 2.
Cincinnati at number 2 as well. All right, Slee, you're batting.
What's going on here? Why are you using my strategy all this time?
You're batting leadoff here. The football team is in Vegas to take on the Raiders. Yeah. Raiders are 2-point favorites at home against the football team.
I'll make this my – listen, I don't know how the Raiders walked in on Thanksgiving, a time where we all just kind of forgot about the Raiders, and now here they are sitting 6-5. The AFC West is completely clogged up. I'll take the Raiders. It's not a lot of points. I'll make this my big one. I'll go Raiders 4.
All right, he's got Raiders up at the top. Taylor, what do you got?
I've got football team 1.
Football team at 1. I, too, am going to take the football team. I'm going to put them at number 2. Here, how about this? This is how weird the NFC is.
Yep.
If the playoffs started this week, the football team would be in the playoffs. That's how weird the bottom half of that NFC is. Doesn't make a ton of sense. I guess there's good news that there are still 6 games to go. Last game on the docket, it's the Monday night game. It is a very, very good Monday night game. New England, who is they're as hot as anybody in the whole league. I think they've won 6 in a row. In Buffalo to take on the Bills, who look to kind of right the ship on Thursday against the Saints on Thursday night. They've got a chance to play here against New England to get back on top of the division. They are 2.5-point favorites at home. Taylor, who do you got?
I got the Pats in this one at 4.
Ooh, okay. So he goes Patriots all the way at the top. Alan Sliwa.
I want nothing to do with this game. I'll go Bills 1. I think this is, in my opinion, this is the toughest one to choose between the four games that we got.
I'm going
to
take them at home. I think they win the game. Maybe they kick a field goal late, so I'm going to take the Bills as well. I only have one spot left, so I got them at 4, and I really don't care how my picks turn out. I really care how Taylor's picks turn out, and I really care how yours turn out. So let me see what you got here. You guys have... You've got two different picks. You got two the same, two different
picks, and the extremes on both of them. The ones in the four there.
Yep, that's gonna really. And by the way, Taylor is in a better spot than you, because if he wins, he just gets the one, but you lose four. So it's there's a lot more on the line for you.
Well, same thing for the Raiders and the Washington football team.
True. All right, so. I just need to get out of the cellar, right? If I told you this is what was going to happen. I told you that this is how this goes. This entire game was my idea, but somehow I knew how it was going to end anyway, and I'm still in last place.
Listen, Trav, sometimes in life there's ups and there's downs, and there's certain things that you have to take, and you have to take it with a grain of salt. This might be one of those situations anytime we do the picks. By the way, there's no freaking method. There's no magic to this. Every time I pick a game, there are games that we've done, and I'm like, oh, those are awful picks. I end up getting 10. And last week I was walking into the games like, I really like these. I didn't get a point, so I don't know what the method to the madness is.
Stick with the Rams for a second because, you know, it's a 13-point spread, obviously, and that's a ton. Jacksonville's really bad. They're really bad. Trevor Lawrence has been at his best mediocre, and he has not been at his best very often. I would love to see the Rams go in there and put up 40 and, you know, throw a shutout. That would be ideal. But I like you mentioned, I just don't feel like there's any real win in this for the Rams other than to break the losing streak. Break the losing streak, kind of hit the reset button. But beyond that, until I see what they look like against Arizona on Monday night, I don't really care what they look like against Jacksonville if they win. If they lose, that's a totally different conversation.
Can I say this? Even with, you know, the league is incredibly fascinating right now because every single week we're having trouble trying to figure out, okay, what is going on? How many games have the Patriots won in a row?
Six.
Okay, they've won six games in a row or five, whatever it is, right? Chargers and the Bengals, that's a good game.
It is a good
game. That wasn't a game that you thought much of. Wait a minute. The Raiders have a chance to be in a position to be in the second place in the AFC West. KC's only a game in front of the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. I kind of find, and I know we spent a ton of time criticizing where the Rams are. The reality is the NFC and the AFC, I don't know if anybody's ran away with this thing. Even if you look at the Cardinals, are you sitting back today saying, oh, well, that's the best team in the NFC? I don't think you are.
I don't think there is a best
team
in the AFC. I don't think there's a best team in the AFC. Stick with the Chargers and the Bengals for a second. Mm-hmm. Two very young, very good quarterbacks. You got Joe Burrow and you've got Justin Herbert. And it's interesting because the quarterbacks that we've known forever are aging out, right? We saw Drew Brees leave. Both of the Mannings are gone. Tom Brady's 45 years old, and who knows how long he'll go. Aaron Rodgers just turned 38. Russell Wilson looks older. Like the guy, Roethlisberger, looks like he's fossilized at this point. These are the guys that have been the guys for the last 10, 15 years. What about the next wave of guys? Herbert and Burrow are obviously near the top. Is that, if we're doing a draft of young quarterbacks, are either one of those two guys your first pick?
Man, that's think about Justin Herbert, the conversation we were having three, four weeks ago about him. And I'm not telling you because you go through a bad stretch. It's the NFL. He's a second-year quarterback in the league. I think everybody thinks that. Obviously, he's got an incredibly promising future. But how quick do just the conversation change? How quick does the conversation change about a quarterback or a franchise? And I think that's actually what makes the NFL so fascinating is every single week – I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could sit here and pretend like, oh, well, this game, I could call this game, I call that. Who would have thought the Patriots right now are, I think they're, if they're not leading the AFC, they're within a half game or a game of on top of the AFC. So a lot of these young quarterbacks, I kind of sit back and, to be honest with you, Chav, I don't know. I mean, it could change in the next 2-3 weeks.
So here's kind of the crop of guys, right? You got Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. You've got Lamar Jackson, who's already got an MVP. I mean, if you're talking about a guy that's already won the trophy, you've got Kyler Murray, who has been
Josh
fantastic.
Allen.
Josh Allen. Mac Jones is, you know, maybe he's not as fun to watch in the sense like, holy smoke, did you see that? But he's winning a whole bunch of games.
Get W's, that's Belichick, all that matters.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Which guy do you want? You have to pick one. You're starting your franchise. You got first pick. You got to pick one of those guys. Who do you take?
Okay, say give me the list one more time.
Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray. Josh Allen. And Mac Jones.
I take Lamar.
Would you really?
Yeah,
I think Lamar. I want to take Lamar because of what we've seen, but let's look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton was the guy and was awesome, but all of a sudden, just the amount of punishment that he took because he was running so often, it's like when it went south, it really went south. It went south in a hurry. So I don't know if I want that running guy.
Maybe because more of a proven commodity rather than some of these other guys still, you know, as proven as in he's had success. I know he hasn't tore it up in the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination.
I need a guy that can move his feet when he has to, but really isn't looking to do it. I still think it's Herbert.
I think it's Herbert
because if he needs to go, he can. I mean, but he's 6'6". He's big. He can stand in that pocket. But if you need to tuck it and get 8, 9, 10 yards, he's got that gear.
You know, the question probably is if Justin Herbert was the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, how much different would Justin Herbert look? How much different would – and if Lamar just happened to be with an organization like the Chargers, how much different would his career look?
You want to be Joe Flacco or do you want to be Dan Fouts? Because it's kind of what we're talking about, right? Dan Fouts, Hall of Famer, one of the great passers of all time, never got to the Super Bowl, never won the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco was Joe Flacco, but he did win the Super Bowl.
Did Flacco get paid?
Yeah.
He got paid, right? I'll take Flacco.
I don't know. Dan Fouts looks like he's got a pretty good life a long way.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Are you giving stuff away next week, Santa Slee? Do you have a bag you're going to bring in toys or gifts? Am I eligible?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Let's just worry about your part of the show, what happens behind the scenes.
That's my favorite answer.
Here's the funny thing. I have no idea.
Well,
the way Chris was setting it up, it sounded like I have stuff that I'm bringing in. I have no idea.
One of the terms of your employment contract was you need to provide gifts for the listeners in the second week of December. that's how it goes.
It's coming out of your paycheck, Slee.
Yeah, exactly. Just
we're making you pay for ESPN Insider whether you want it or not. You got that?
There you go. All right, so here we go. You heard Chris say it there. You can win tickets to see the Nets and the Lakers at Crypto.com Arena.
Kevin Durant.
The biggest names in the sports, Lee. We give away a lot of cool stuff, but this is right near the top of the list. And where do you want to go first, Al?
So I don't have it on mine. Okay. You pick there, and then I'll have a trivia question.
All right. Let's go to Bernardo in Whittier. Bernardo, you are up first. Slee's got a question for you. What's up, Bernardo?
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right, Bernardo. Here we go, man. You ready?
A lot on the line here.
Okay. How many Laker Game 7s have been played at Staples Center? How many Laker Game 7s have been played at Staples Center? Give us a number, buddy.
How much time do I have?
4, 3, 2.
I want to say 6.
1.
Ooh.
6 is not the answer, buddy.
Thank you, Bernardo. Not super far off, but not the correct answer. All right, let's try another one.
I love the how much time do I have? You get 3 minutes.
You can call us back before 12:52.
How quickly he can Google.
Exactly right. All right, next stop is let's go to Costa Mesa and Edgar. Edgar, you are up next. How are you feeling today? You feeling lucky, Edgar?
I hope so.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Which team did Kobe Bryant outscore through three quarters at Staples Center?
Dallas Mavericks.
There you go.
My man. There it is.
There you go, Edgar. Congratulations. You get to go see the Lakers and the Nets Christmas night at Crypto.com Arena.
Damn it. We had so many other good questions,
too. I thought
that one might, you know, maybe throw them off a little bit.
Here's a good question. Edgar, are you still there? Oh, Emily's already talking to him. Because I'm always – here's the thing for me. Is he there, Em? Can we put him back on real quick? or did we already? I always want to know who gets the other ticket, right? Like if you won a really cool prize, and by the way, if you won a really cool prize publicly,
sure.
You know, now all of a sudden, you know, who do you take? Like, could you have to take Lady Slee? Could you take somebody else? Like, I don't know, your co-host? How does that shake out?
I think, okay, if it was me, it comes down to, okay, who's going to appreciate this thing? Who wants to be there? You know what I mean? Like, I think, look, can you take your significant other, that's cool. And by the way, it'd be a great game to do it. It's a good time. You can make a day of it, whatever the case. I think it's a 5 p.m. game. Only problem is, what if they don't care about sports?
It's a tricky putt because let's play it out.
Okay.
I believe you said this, that Lady Slee is not a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you said, you know, hey, listen, Lady Slee, Trav is a super huge sports fan. He'd appreciate it more than you. It isn't, she's gonna be bothered by that, right?
I actually don't think she'd be bothered because if I also throw in but listen, you and I are gonna go do Mastro's Steakhouse, fantastic dinner. We'll do one of those because we'll enjoy it together. I think she'll be like, okay, yeah, have a good time.
Yeah, maybe if it's complete indifference towards it, it's not as bad. But congratulations to Edgar from Costa Mesa for winning that prize. Have you ever won anything?
What do you mean?
Like in a contest, a raffle, a pick a number between 1 and 10 with your buddies? I don't know. Anything.
One of those type of raffles and contests or like calling into a radio show, no. I've never.
What about like squares at a Super Bowl party? Have you ever won one of those?
I have won squares before.
Okay. How'd you do? Is it little, big, medium?
Maybe a couple $100.
That's pretty good.
You know, something like that.
That's pretty good. Nothing
else?
I'm
trying to think what else.
Never won the lotto?
I remember when I was a kid. Where was I? I was at some, maybe like Raging Waters or one of those places.
Okay.
And you had to get blindfolded and you had to guess Coke or Pepsi.
Okay.
You guessed
did the Pepsi challenge?
I did the Coke or Pepsi, and I nailed it. You know, let's just put it that way. I knew the difference. I don't even know what I won. I probably didn't even win anything.
Probably a six-pack of Coke or Pepsi, right?
Whoever was sponsoring it.
Yeah, it was the Pepsi challenge.
By the way, even if it was Pepsi, you guessed Pepsi and it was Coke, but Coke was sponsoring. Like, you got it. It's Coke again. Here's a six-pack of Coke.
Was it? Did you had the name which one it was or which one you liked better? Was it blind or you just?
No,
it was
blind.
I like number B.
It was blind, and you had to guess which one it was.
All right, you need to enter more contests. You should start.
What are your contests? You have a long list of contests.
Not a single thing.
I need to enter more contests.
Yes, you should become a compulsive gambler. You should start getting action on everything. Like the next car to come around the corner will be red with white walls. I'll give you 10-1. You should just start throwing out random action.
Us doing these pick'ems on Sundays, I look like I'm. There's nothing at stake. Let me just remind people out there. We do this. There's no prize here. I think we're supposed to come up with a prize if a listener wins, if the listeners win. But there's nothing at stake. And I'm like pacing during the Packers-Cardinals game where I have zero affiliation.
And no money.
No money.
That's the other thing.
No money.
There's absolutely no action going on. All right. Lincoln Riley was on with Key, and he was asked a question, you know, how quickly can you turn this thing around? Mm-hmm. You'll hear that answer coming up next. Plus, we got the dump straight ahead. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Al. So this was not supposed to be part of the dump, but I'm glad we got it. Remember our caller, Nick? I think it was from Long Beach. I think it was. And he was kind of out of breath, and we were just a little worried about him.
Yep.
Okay, he texted us. This is good. Or okay. I should say tweeted at us. Nick said, I was, in fact, on my elliptical when I called in earlier today. Combine that with my eternal passion for the Lakers, and you get what you got. A bit of delirium as I tried to catch my breath. Thanks for doing what you do. I'm very glad that he circled back because I was worried about Nick. It sounded like he was hyperventilating.
You know what's funny? I thought for a second there, I'm like, maybe was the guy nervous? Was he? That makes a lot more sense that he was. Yeah, sometimes people that get on the radio, maybe they've never been on the radio. Maybe that's blown out of proportion. But the fact that the guy was doing 3.1 miles per hour on his, you know, elliptical or treadmill, whatever he was doing, I feel a lot better about
that. He also has a hashtag UCSB represent. So I'm assuming, Nick, that you're a gaucho like myself. So fight on. Ole. All right. Lincoln Riley was on with Key this morning and was asked the question, hey, how quickly after you get here can you turn this thing around?
College football this day and age, there's so many different ways to turn over a roster quickly. And obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes on the coaching staff as well. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of new faces. And so I think the capability can be there very quickly. And then it's about the whole group coming together. But I wouldn't have taken this job if I didn't feel like there was an opportunity to make a quick turnaround.
Okay, let me ask you a question now.
Yep.
What do you think he means when he says there are so many different ways to turn over the roster?
I think there's a lot of folks that will transfer, they'll decommit from where they currently are. And listen, it's not just college football, but this is momentum, riding a wave. This is the hot thing right now. It changed so quick for USC. And would you be surprised or shocked? I'm not telling you that 50 people are going to decommit and they're going to all become Trojans. But I think some major, major student athletes or even somebody that's trying to make a decision right now of where they're going to go play, you know, what university they're going to go to, this will be a wave that rides. And you didn't have that a week ago or 5 days ago, whatever the case is. So I think that's what it means.
Yeah, well, so many different ways means I ain't playing with these guys. I'm getting new guys. I'm going to bring in some of my guys from Oklahoma. All the recruits that I had in Crimson and Cream are now going to be in Cardinal and Gold. Don't worry about what's here, guys. I'm bringing in new, better players, and we're going to turn this thing fast. Y'all see, you know, we're going to turn the coaching staff around. In other words, I know I love that answer because I know what I'm doing. I'm bringing in my coaches. I'm bringing in my players, and we're going to turn this thing around fast. I do think it's the first time I've ever really kind of had this thought pop into my head. I think there does need to be at least a little bit of your foot on the brake in the first year. You do need to give him a little bit of time to understand the lay of the land of both the Pac-12, Southern California, USC. To expect him to come in and go to the Rose Bowl, win the Pac-12, could they? Sure, they could. But I don't know if the expectation needs to be Rose Bowl, CFP, conference title in year one.
Let me kind of give you, I think, would be a fair turnaround here. What USC end up, and I'm just, I don't know
under
off the
500.
Top of my head.
They still got one game left with Cal that's coming up, but it's they're nowhere. They're
okay.
Under 500.
So let's say USC is 4-7 right now. One more game to go. Let's say they lose the last one and they're 4-8. Okay. If you go 9-3 in your first season, and you didn't get into that big bowl game, you also didn't get into the college football playoff, but you changed it around like that, and all of a sudden, the Coliseum, there's meaningful games there that by the time you get into October and November and these games matter, hey, you and I are going out of our way to talk about this big matchup coming into the Coliseum, or SC's got to go on the road, and this could be, you know, whether they're still in the hunt for the Pac-12 championship. I think that's what's got to happen. I don't think that's unrealistic, Trav. I mean, I think if you think that he's going to come here and get to a college football playoff in his first year, yes, pump the brakes, slow it down. But if you think he's going to instantly turn the program around, they're winning 9 games in his first season. Mm-hmm. They have meaningful games when it matters. The Coliseum is packed. That's a pretty damn good year from where you were a year ago.
It's going to be more packed than it was last year. They've already sold 1,100 new season ticket packages. And they named him coach last weekend. It's Thursday.
By the way, smart. Now, if I'm an SC fan, I'm going to buy a ticket.
Yeah, why not? Because like you just said, and I think that the tickets kind of represent this, if nothing else, there's buzz, there's hope, and there's optimism.
There's right? expectations.
There's expectations, but I yep. do think the expectations in year one, put it to you this way, if you said, okay, they go 9-3 or 9-4, which is far better than what they did now, I don't think there's going to be a, hey, we thought we were going to win the Pac-12. I don't think there's going to be this disappointment. It's, hey, that's a big step in the right direction. Now let's go take the next step, compete for a Rose Bowl, compete for a national championship.
Put it this way. If they went 500, yeah, I would be sitting here like, the hell? No, you got to do better than 500. It's the Pac-12. You know, I think that would be a different story. But to be honest with you, I don't think anybody thinks that's going to happen.
Okay, aircraft specialists are designing a new private jet that has a retractable sun deck, four double rooms, a gym, and a garage. Wait, there has to be a sun deck like is in, I mean, we're not doing convertible airplanes now, right? It's just, is it made out of glass where the sun comes in through the roof? What are we talking about here?
All right, I don't know what the hell that means. I get a little nervous kind of thinking about it. You know, I'm not asking for much here when we fly, Trav. I don't think you and I ask for too much. No. We ask for a little bit. You know, Michael always said this. Can you imagine if you're – how tall are you?
6'3".
Okay, so you're actually a pretty good example. You were saying yesterday that, you know, you want to be by the window because you need space and this and that.
Yeah.
Can they just give everyone a little more space? Are you asking for too much? I don't know if I need a sunroof
even that's
and,
asking too
and
much.
A hot tub. Just it's a little more space.
I need – pilots and mechanics that have had plenty of rest and are well paid. That's it. That's it. The rest of it is all gravy. If I got a little less leg room, I can deal with it. I need that pilot rested and well paid, and I need the mechanic rested and well paid. That's it.
It is kind of funny when, you know, somebody's like, freaking Wi-Fi doesn't work. I'm like, bro, we're literally flying over the ocean. It's okay if the Wi-Fi is not
this
working.
This airline
it's choppy
sucks.
Here.
Yeah, it's going to land in the other side of the world in 12 hours safely. You're fine. Relax. Everything is good.
Do you like airplane food? I know that's a random question, but are you okay with it? Like, hey, no problem, whatever comes.
I mean, yeah, I put it this way. I'm not going to devour it. I'll pick at it. I'll eat what's there. If I haven't eaten in 6 hours, I'll eat it.
When I did my international flight on the way there, I'm like, oh, this is great. This isn't bad. Hey, it's a good setup. On my way back, I'm like, I don't even want to see the food. I don't want to see it. I don't want anybody to talk to me. Some crackers.
All right. So if people want to start stacking up their minutes by listening to our pod, how do they do it?
All right. ESPN app or on iTunes, just search Travis and Sliwa. Get the full 3 hours. So Monday through Friday, if you don't catch the show live, you can catch the show on the ESPN app or on iTunes.
All right. Don't forget, you got a chance to win Lakers and Nets tickets, Mason and Ireland, Sedano and Cap as well. So listen all day long for your chance to win those tickets. It is Travis and Sli, 710 ESPN. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.